Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Catholic Doctors, discussing medicine in light of church teaching. And now, The Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek.
Welcome to The Catholic Doctors Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. This is your co-host, Dr. Michael Parker, in studio with Dr. Will Turek. Will, how are you today?
I'm doing great.
If I'm allowed to call you doctor anymore.
Well, you know, I'm an advanced level provider.
That's right.
That's what I am. I'm an ALP, an ALP. That's what I am.
That title of, you know, of doctor over the years has started to lose some of its glamour, hasn't it?
I think so. I think so. Ever since St. Gabriel decided that we shouldn't use that song that we used to do.
I would say the song, but we might get on some.
I know. Right? We could get in trouble with ASCAP or something,
from,
I guess.
Jackson Brown,
right.
Doctor My Eyes. That's right.
So,
exactly.
You know.
Now, you know, well, I come from a long line of doctors, starting with my grandfather who got his
license.
Came
over from Ireland.
No, his family did, but he didn't.
Okay.
You know, 1931, I think he got his license to practice medicine in the state of Ohio. And, was a family practice doctor, actually delivered well over 7,000 babies as a family practice doctor. Held the world's record at one point in time for the longest time between delivery of twins of 56 days.
56 days. And went in the Guinness Book of World Records.
It was for about 8 years.
And he wore his white coat for years.
And my father was a doctor also. My uncle was a doctor. Dad's cousin was a doctor. And, you know, when my dad died at the age of 52... from lung cancer, they had to extend his calling hours by an extra day because there were so many people that wanted to see him.
Mm-hmm.
There's a different attitude about doctors that we see in society today. And that's what we're going to talk about today on the show. We're going to talk about the changing attitude towards doctors and what the profession of medicine is.
Yeah. No, you know? I think that's a very timely topic because it's evolving.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And so, you know, for the first time in a long time, I get to be a part of this quadrangle of conversation that we're going to have here. You know, we're blessed to have in studio with us Dr. Kimberly Henkel. Kim, welcome to the Catholic Doctors Show. And on the phone, we have Dr. Tony Caruso from Chicago. Tony, welcome to the Catholic Doctors Show.
It's great to be back and great to hear your voice again, Mike.
Well, Tony, I'll start with you.
Okay.
What do you perceive is the current public image of the healthcare professional or the healthcare profession today?
Well, I don't know that it's completely lost all of its respect. I mean, I think that when you get sick, that the doctor becomes important. But I think in general, it no longer holds the same pull. I mean, none of us went into medicine to be like the top of the cork or to be super respected or to have people basically just wait on you hand and foot. That's not why we went into medicine. But just the idea that, the doctor is not always the first person thought of in good health and is usually in bad health is a whole segment that kind of look at it as sort of like playing the lottery.
Right, right. And Kim, you're in the lay, not a medically trained person, what perception do you see as a regular public person, but somebody who knows something about medicine? What is your perception of the current position of healthcare workers?
Well, I think things are changing with the internet and with the access to information these days. Now that so many medical journals are online, people can look up latest research and such. So I know I myself kind of look at becoming my own. I see myself as my own doctor in a way, and I spend way too much time on the internet researching things and being convinced that I have all sorts of maladies. But, I think that there is sort of a – there's beginning to be more questioning, you know – is my doctor keeping up with the latest information? Is he keeping up? You know, what journals is he reading? Is he on top of things, he or she? And if not, I feel like I have to prepare for any sort of visits by doing all the research on my own and then bring it into my doctor to say, okay, this is what's going on. This is what I think it might be.
Well, your point is very good in that there's a changing dynamic with the advent of, you know, Nurse Yahoo and Dr. Google, you know, is what I call them. And that dynamic has changed the interaction that we see between a patient and physician in the fact that patients are coming in already knowing a little bit about what's going on or having some type of suspicion about what's going on. And maybe it's our role as physicians, Will, to put it in the proper context.
Yeah.
Well, but, But you know, I'm sorry to interrupt, but the thing is that this is the bad side of evidence-based medicine.
Right.
You know, yes. We've completely forgotten about the art of medicine. We've completely forgotten about the experience of medicine. And then you could ask, well, why does it take so long to become a doctor if basically you're going to be able to just look up everything on your iPad?
Google it and find out.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I think it's interesting because I'm kind of an ersatz, you know, geriatrician. Okay, I have a different generation of the population, different piece of the pie. And in reality, probably a smaller minority of my patients come into me and hand me articles or give me WebMD references or whatever. And so I still have some patients that I have to feel out to say whether or not they want me. You know, a lot of times they'll come in and say, well, doc, whatever you want me to do,
right.
You know, and usually they're 80 plus.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
And you know, then the 50-year-olds are a little different. They have a different take on things. They're like, you know, I think it's almost like a smorgasbord. They're like, well, you know, I like what you said about, you know, my prostate, but I'm not real crazy about what you said about my heart. You know, and so they say, well, I'll take a little bit of that Caesar salad and I'll take a little bit of this fruit salad and I'd like some of the meat, but I don't really want, you know, what else you're telling me. Yeah, I know. Right. You're giving me that quizzical look. But the point is that you know, I mean, I'm just there to kind of roll out what exactly, for them anyway, what is conventional medical wisdom, what is, you know, the up-to-date version of what's going on now. And then they kind of shrug their shoulders and say, well, I'll do what I want.
Well, I think that's the second point that you bring out is one of the other things that I've seen in time with the healthcare profession, having had family physicians for so long, is that the role of the doctor is changing now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Tony, you brought up the art of medicine, and doctors used to be very famed for their diagnostic abilities.
Right.
When we didn't have MRIs and PET scans and chest X-rays that were readily available, mm-hmm. Doctors had to diagnose based on the physical findings and symptoms that patients presented with, and so that was the art of medicine.
Yeah.
Now it seems that with the first point that people are coming in with more knowledge and everything else, and then people coming in to see their doctors, it's more of a what can you, you know, how should I put this? More of a mechanical type of interaction between the doctor and the patient, where the patient expects to get certain things, mm-hmm. like, say, antibiotics for my cold,
even though
most of them are viral. if they don't get it, they're almost upset with you.
Yeah, and then, you know, they give you surveys after you walk out, or you go online, you say, take this survey about your doctor, and you say, well, he was crap because I didn't get my Z-Pack, or I didn't get my whatever.
Right.
The other thing that I think is creeping in all of this is direct to consumer advertising, which is an abomination. In my opinion, maybe you guys don't have the same opinion of it, but from a primary care standpoint, when people come in and they slide an ad across the desk and they say, doc, I want this. I think I need this. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe you do, but what, you know, what symptoms do you have? What's going on that I can tell you whether or not you do need that?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. But, you know, at the same time, you know, if they come in with something and I'm not all that familiar with it, I may kind of take a look myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I have one patient who came in with a medicine that I'd never heard of before that really is just something completely different from what she had. And she really had her own research done on it. I'm like, okay, well, if you don't mind being the guinea pig, because I've never done this before, we'll try it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's happy because now I put it back in her place. I've already set the expectation,
right.
Which I never would have done before. But that's the way it seems to go now. You see?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. No, and I think that what you're talking about, that kind of that interplay, you know, Tony, you mentioned the art of medicine. Many times in the old days, the art of medicine was trying new things to see if they worked because either everything else had failed or, you had a new idea on the pathophysiology of how things worked or not. And,
right.
And Kimberly, you know, You going in to see a doctor, you're a well-educated woman and you know how to do the research on things like that. what's your response when you go into see a doctor who may, you know, you may go in, okay, so let's say you go into the doctor and you talk to them about either natural family planning or you talk to them about new, some type of new treatment for whatever ails you that may not be a conventional medicine or something that is regularly prescribed, or you don't want birth control pills. What's the response that you may get from a doctor?
Oh, because I'm choosing my own.
Yeah, because you're kind of, I look at it this way. Patients now are becoming the conductors of their healthcare.
Sure.
You know, where they are, they're coming into their doctor's office and they've done reading and they know a little bit about their health and what they should expect from their health, mm-hmm. or where they want to be. And so they're coming into the doctor to, one, get validation and verification that, yes, this is what's truly going on with them. And then, two, they've already determined the kind of path that they want to go down,
sure.
Whether it's more of a holistic approach, a naturopathic right. approach, or a rather allopathic approach, or mm-hmm. or whatever, you know,
yeah.
path they want to take.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're trying to say to that. But, you know, how have doctors responded to you? Have you had any experience with doctors if
sure.
you try to go into that way?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, I am very, I try to be very holistic. I don't mm-hmm. like to take medications
sure.
and
sure.
and I'm trying to, you know, work on diet, exercise, those type of things. I mean, I feel like oftentimes they continue to push medications often and that it, I don't often take them. And, mm-hmm. and it's true. I sort of kind of reject it. And now I have children as well. And I'm constantly questioning, do I take them in? I don't want them on antibiotics because
right.
I know how much that destroys their intestinal flora. I mm-hmm. get very concerned about that.
Sure.
So I'm very hesitant, I must say, to go to doctors anymore.
I mean, to be honest. Go ahead, Tony.
Listen to what you just said, okay, which is beautiful. But 10 years ago? What patient would have walked into any of our offices and talked about the intestinal flora?
Right.
Right.
And
good point.
And who would have cared about it?
Right.
No, you're
absolutely right.
That's very accurate.
Because the idea was the medicine matched whatever the malady would be, and that's how we all learned medicine. This medicine
absolutely.
Goes to the malady, and we knew that's what we did, and we went to specialties that limited us except for Will, who we came to. Everything, but you know, my point is that we learned within our line what treated what, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the challenge that I have in my practice now is that I have to open up everybody's mind,
right?
Because people come in, not I have the opposite problem. I have people come in wanting the pill,
right?
And trying to change their mind on these things or that. I mean, it goes the other way. I mean, I got a call from a pediatrician today who basically thought that I needed a letter from a patient who I have who's pregnant who doesn't want her kid to basically have anything.
Yeah.
And says, well, you know that there are waivers at the hospital for that. I said, I'm aware of that, but she's looking for that additional, you know, positive thing from you
right.
because she wants to make sure you're going to be on board with her.
Yeah. Right.
And you see, and I think that's an extreme thing. I mean, you have a patient who doesn't want to take anything. They don't want the child to have any kind of immunization,
right.
no matter what it comes from, vitamin K. And we know from the evidence that this stuff, some of this stuff, not all of it, but some of this stuff is really sort of vital.
Yeah.
Right.
And,
yeah.
and I think it's taking it that next step beyond where now the patient becomes their own doctor.
Right. You're listening to the Catholic Doctors Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. And today we're talking about the changing image or the changing role of the physician. And we're talking with Dr. Anthony Caruso and Dr. Kimberly Henkel about this matter. And I want to kind of change the topic a little bit. I don't want to go completely away from this because I think what we were just discussing was that we now have more of a relationship issue between the doctor and the patient. It used to be that the doctor, there was some type of paternalistic society.
Kind of a hierarchy of sorts.
Right, that used to be there, that the doctor knew everything, and so I did what the doctor told mm-hmm. me. And now we have a changing view based on information that's available, other things that are going on, but also the Affordable Care Act has forced certain changes
yeah.
With patients having access to their health care records and the ability to read and find out about these things and then to rate their doctors. But I want to change the topic a little bit and say, what is special about being a Catholic physician and how does being a Catholic physician change our role as we see it between ourselves and our patients or how we approach medicine? And I'll start with you first, Tony.
The first thing that I think it is the word mercy. I think that Catholic doctors, if you are truly espousing your Catholic faith, the first thing you do is you espouse mercy to the patient who walks in with whatever concern they are. And in that definition of mercy, you are emotive to that patient's needs, that you're going to listen to that patient, not just hear them. And you're going to give them offerings that are going to be good for their whole life, not just for the problem that they have. You're also going to try to keep them with as natural a process as you're going to, because you as a Catholic physician know that there are dangers out there with what is being done in the society now. And depending on, and it's going to be different for whatever specialty you're in, but every specialty is going to have its hot button that they're going to basically have to walk away from and try to convince the patient that an alternative to that is the right way to go.
You know, I think when you think about being a Catholic physician and how this approach is different, I look at it now, as we were talking about this originally in the first part of the show, you really have to size up your patient, you know, from not only physically, but psychologically, emotionally, spiritually. I mean, they ask the medical students to make, you know, a complete review of systems in regards to all that sort of stuff. Now, I would say, as you were talking, the idea that comes to mind for me is that I want to treat this patient as the unique soul that God made them to be, and that, in essence, my job in their healthcare is to try to at least try to help them to get to their eternal destiny.
Right. And to know that the last and the most gracious and greatest physician is God Himself. Right.
Exactly.
I agree. I used to think, you know, if I look for a model, I think to myself, Marcus Welby was probably a Catholic physician. Not a Catholic physician, but treated old-time doctors treated people the way Catholic physicians should treat people.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, they weren't all about get a test. They were trying to take care of the person.
Yeah.
Well, it's that mind, body, spirit type of thing.
Right. Exactly.
But I think what, to me, makes being a Catholic physician unique, because many of these things that we're talking about can be espoused by non-Catholic physicians.
Absolutely.
And it can be espoused by others, is that when we walk into the room, we're seeing the image of Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
And this image, that point is not, it's not something that I came up with, but has been taught to me over years. But it's one of those ways that actually makes all the other things that you just talked about, showing mercy, showing, you know, being concerned about the eternal soul of this patient or their salvation, and knowing, let's say, that patient is Catholic, you don't want to do anything that's going to hinder their salvation by prescribing them something you know is not right for them, or doing a procedure you know is not right for them. But it starts with thinking, this is Jesus Christ that I'm here to heal, but He is healing through me. So it's a two-way street of Jesus being in both parts of that conversation.
Absolutely. My experience with Catholic physicians that I've had the, you know, I've been really pleased with to work with, is that I feel that they do treat me as a whole person, that they are looking at the whole scenario. They're not just trying to push pills on me. And I've definitely, you know, I had a situation years ago where I went to an OBGYN who was telling me it was not natural for me to ovulate all the time and I needed to be on the birth control pill because it was not natural. And I thought that was the craziest thing I ever heard of. And, you know, and I told her at that time I was Catholic and, you know,
she's like, Catholic women shouldn't ovulate either.
Yeah.
All the time.
But she didn't understand why, you know,
what the hell does that have to do with anything?
Or you know.
You don't have Catholic ovaries?
Or worst of all, you get the response, well, I'm Catholic too. I don't quite understand.
Right.
You know, from your physician.
Certainly.
Because we know there's a good. I mean,
which is a great opportunity
for
the patients to evangelize. Right. Which I know friends of mine who have done that. They've gone and evangelized and explained why, you know, why the birth control pill is not a good option for for anybody. But
Tony, and that's how you got to where you're at, Mike.
It's partly how I got to where I am.
Your patients were accosting you.
Well, they weren't accosting me.
Just kidding.
They were praying for me, but you know, the way the Holy Spirit works is first there has to be a willingness to be open to the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And whenever, when I made my decision, it was because I had an inherent, I guess, openness to the Holy Spirit. And it was exactly that situation where I was working with a couple with infertility. And we got to the point where Tony, you know this, you get to the point where you're starting to prescribe fertility medications, IVF, embryo transfer, those kind of things. You've gone through everything else that you could, and they say, I can't do that. I'm Catholic, you know? And I said those words. Really? I'm Catholic too. What's wrong with
it? What difference did it make?
And that led to my, you know, inquiring as to what the Catholic Church believes about these things and really seeing... And then having that experience with the Holy Spirit of truly understanding the relationship between man and woman and the beauty of humanae vitae, really.
You know, so, now here's the other thing about this, okay? Because, you know, we're heavily weighted towards, you know, women's health in this program here, but I and that's not a bad thing.
They are,
Mike.
51% of the population.
I agree. They are a very important 51%. So, but the thing is that as Catholic physicians, you know, because I'm primary care, I look at the whole, all of, you know, from womb to tomb. And so, the thing of it is that as my goal when I deal with my patients, one is that I want to, you know, reduce suffering. But the other is that I want to or promote life, but the other is to reduce suffering. And so the thing is that as people are, you know, towards the end of their life, in the September of their lives, and they are looking towards their creator as their destiny, they're looking at their lives in a different way. And I feel like I have a sacred job to help them to heal their relationships with brokenness that's in their families or allow them to have some peace and get rid of guilt and shame and despair.
Right.
Those are the things that I feel I bring to the table from my Catholicism. Right.
And I would agree with you 100%, but I would say help them to find the meaning of suffering. You know,
well,
and Tony,
that's 2.1. Yeah, you know?
And Tony, you and I probably saw this more than anything else, especially with regards to infertility.
Right.
In helping them to understand, especially with Catholic women who aren't going to go any further than what we can do, what is the point of this?
You know? Well, yeah. I mean, it comes to a point, Mike, where that's the saddest part about, well, it isn't sad, is that they have to find what God's will is for them. And that's what I talk about a lot with these patients who have gotten through the point where really I don't know, there is no place else to go. And the God has a different will for them.
And
what that might be, maybe they need to be the greatest aunt and uncle in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they've been called to do something completely different.
And certainly that applies to beyond infertility to any type of illness where medicine is only able to go so far in healing.
Right.
And then,
you know, the interesting thing about this is this whole conversation started with this New York Times article, The Costumes That Obscure Doctor and Patient,
right.
You know, and how the National Health Service in the UK banned white coats for doctors 10 years ago, and that, you know, paper gowns are really not very flattering, you know, aesthetically, and frankly, almost bypassed anymore for most people, because what's the point? But you, the three of us, have known our professors in medical school saying, you have to strip that patient naked and you better get them down and look at every inch of their bodies to take a good physical exam.
Right.
You know, and that's changed.
Okay, again, here's where Catholic healthcare comes in, or the Catholic view of healthcare comes in, and that is the word dignity.
Right.
You know, in any relationship, we want to maintain the dignity of the patient, but also the dignity of the doctor-patient relationship.
Right.
And what that stands for. So we have about 2 minutes left in the show, and maybe we can quickly go around the table to our guests and just get your opinion on the future of Catholic healthcare or the future of medicine, and do you see it as a positive or a negative? The doctor-patient relationship, a positive or a negative? Tony, I'll start with you.
Well, I think there's always going to be a group of people who want the actual physicalness of the doctor-patient relationship, but I do think it's becoming more and more, and I see the future more of an automat type of thing, where people get what they want, when they want it, from wherever they will get it from. And it's up to Catholic physicians to try to reestablish that the best way is the way between doctor and patient themselves in a one-on-one relationship.
Do you feel there still is a role for the Catholic physician? Many people are now saying if you're Catholic and you have these beliefs, you shouldn't even go into medicine.
I do. I think the real medicine is Catholic medicine. I think that the natural law is Catholic medicine, and I think that Catholics need to go into medicine,
right?
Because that's the only way medicine is going to change,
right? That's Kim, right. Kim, what do
absolutely,
you think?
Yeah. Well, at the JP2 Institute, they're doing some conferences with physicians from the Mayo Clinic, and they're discussing this, the meaning of health and wholeness, and how this the doctor can help bring about a wholeness and integrity, and the fact that we are not just body, but we are body and spirit together.
Right.
So
yeah,
right.
No. Well, this has been a great conversation that we've been having with our guest, Dr. Anthony Caruso out of Chicago, and Dr. Kimberly Henkel here in studio with us. And Will, I think it was a good topic. I wasn't so enamored with this topic when we first heard about it, but it turned into a good conversation.
Good job, Kim.
Nice job, Kim.
Sure. I want to thank both of you for coming on and being guests here on the Catholic Doctor Show on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Until next week, we hope your week is happy, healthy, and holy.
God bless.
The Catholic Doctors is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of the Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni Sancti Spiritus, Veni Penaria. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the Catholic Medical Association supports your right to know. The birth control pill has been available for over 50 years. When it was released to market in 1960, it was thought to be the miracle drug that would free women's lives and improve family life. However, the pill has major side effects for the woman, such as weight gain, depression, stroke, and heart attack. Modern methods of natural family planning are more than 95% effective and have no harmful effects on the woman or her marriage. To learn more about natural family planning, visit cathmed.org.